B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 4:03 in the afternoon. Although I think the time matters less than it has in a long time.
That right.
Radio Formatics, they want you to mention the time. Drive time, kind of important. What time is it?
Time and temperature. Right now it's, whatever.
Does it matter? What day? What time is it? It really doesn't matter.
Just another day.
Doesn't it really matter. Is. It's like one big blur.
But in case you do care, we're coming up on 4:04 in the afternoon. Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Murray and I, Maz, on remote. Who's got a lot of pressure on him this year, Maz, for the New England Patriots?
Josh McDaniels. And this occurred to me yesterday as we were listening to the Brady presser, and someone reached out to me about it and said, hey, how do you think McDaniels would do without Brady? And I thought, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about this. Or at least amid all the Brady news, it wasn't necessarily at the top of my list. But with the Patriots approaching the quarterback situation the way they are, which looks like Stidham, Hoyer, and Kessler right now in camp. The point is there are going to be some dramatic changes there as it pertains to that offense, no matter who ends up a quarterback. And so this brings me to McDaniels, which is this guy has a big-time reputation as an offensive coordinator, and he's had the luxury of working with Tom Brady for his entire career, basically. And the only exceptions from that suggest that maybe he's not as good as his reputation. And when I say that, look, in 2008, Brady went down, McDaniels took over, Matt Castle was the quarterback of the Patriots, as we all know, and they did well that season, all things considered, okay? They finished eighth in the league in points scored with Matt Castle at quarterback, and they were playing very good offensive football at the end of the year. I think we'll all agree on that. And so that, to me, is one of McDaniels' crowning achievements. But right after that is when he left New England. In fact, that is really what prompted the hiring of McDaniels in Denver as the head coach of the Broncos. We all know that that was ultimately a disaster with the videotaping scandal and whatnot. But Denver's offenses in the 2 years that McDaniels was out there ranked 20th and 19th, and he was fired partway through the second season. But nonetheless, they were a below-average offense. And then, I don't need to tell you, he went to St. Louis the subsequent year in 2011, and they finished dead last in the league in offense. He was the offensive coordinator for the Rams at that time. So, again, the 3 years out of New England, 20th, 19th, 32nd ranked offenses in the league for McDaniels. If Josh McDaniels is as good as everybody says he is and is as his reputation certainly warrants, then we should start to see it this fall. This is a real test for him. And Mike, the stakes for him potentially are huge, because what if this thing goes sideways or south, and then all of a sudden people look at McDaniels and don't consider him a head coaching candidate like they have in the past?
But the upside, Mass, on the other side,
yeah, huge.
Of it, so again, I mean, I've been touting Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady since 2001, 14-6. 14-6 with Castle, Garoppolo, and Jacoby Brissett. You know who the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach was for all that?
McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels. So do you look at Josh McDaniels 14-6 without Tom Brady here, or the crap sandwich that he produced in Denver and St. Louis? It's like, how do you look at Belichick? Do you look at his crap sandwich from Cleveland, or do you look at what he's done without Tom Brady here post-2001? It's sort of the same question.
Yeah.
So, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, Maz, I sort of feel like McDaniels' reputation's already damaged. Like, I feel like, you know, leaving Indy at the altar must have really hurt him, because he got porked on these jobs this last offseason. I don't feel like he's a hot candidate anymore, so I don't know how much lower he can go. But, however, he has a lot of upside. If they can, you know, just pick a number. If they're a 10-11 win team with Jared Stidham and a top half of the league offense with Jared Stidham, and now Josh McDaniels can say, look what I did with Garoppolo, look what I did with Brissett, look at what I did with Matt Castle, look at what I did with Stidham. If his resume grows with those guys, he can rehabilitate himself and be right back at the top of these lists.
So this is a good point. I mean, the stakes for him really, I think, are significant in both ways. But there is a lot to gain. So that is totally fair. And it does, you know, I wonder now looking back, given all that is going on with the Patriots, all the way things that went with Brady and the way it ended up, if Belichick didn't, quote-unquote, stab McDaniels in the back with the Giants, and again, he endorsed Joe Judge for that job with the Giants because he knew, I can't take on both sides of the ball after Brady's gone without somebody who's got some experience, and so he's really going to lean on McDaniels. I just there is going to be a real test there for McDaniels. With this offense, he's got a lot of young players, particularly in the skill positions. It probably is going to be Stidham at quarterback, at least as of right now, let's hope. And then Harry and Jacoby Myers, there's an opportunity there for him to start something new. And I'll concur with that part of it. If he were to all of a sudden turn the Patriots into a productive offense, an above-average offense with that personnel, his coaching stock would go up a lot.
What's your confidence level?
Pretty well, actually. You know, even though I haven't liked how he handled certain situations, like the Indianapolis thing, like, I don't know, you look at the job he did in Denver and St. Louis, and you can say, yeah, ultimately they were failures, but he got good play out of Kyle Orton, for God's sake, for a stretch. So, and you know, look at the play that he got out of Garoppolo and even Brissett, who was limited. I don't know, I feel good with him working with a fourth rounder and maybe, you know, polishing him into a good story at the very least next year. But man, the way that you broke that down, Maz, if that's how Belichick played it, right? So, like, you know, he made McDaniels stay and do his homework while Joe Judge interviews and ultimately gets that job for the Giants to basically force him to stay because he doesn't want to handle all that much with the offense with a kid who's a fourth rounder and a project quarterback. It's really a smart play because what's McDaniels going to do, even if he's pissed off about it? What, are you going to tank it? Your reputation's already terrible. You want to try to rehabilitate your image and actually work with the kid and make it work here. So if you do want to try to get out of here, you're forced to. He's got him over a barrel.
Yeah, I just think it's a fascinating season for McDaniels in that way. And look, I've always thought McDaniels is overrated. You guys both know that. So nonetheless, though, I do find it kind of intriguing. I think McDaniels has always wanted a quarterback that can move a little bit. Stidham can move. And I'm operating under the assumption that it is going to be Stidham. And he's got some young receivers that he can dumb down the offense for without pissing off the quarterback because Brady's not here anymore, and he's going to have to put training wheels on Stidham to some degree anyway. It does sort of allow him to start at ground zero and develop an offense for totally different kinds of players and certainly a different quarterback than he had with Brady.
If he can add Stidham to his resume, he's back.
Oh, yeah, huge check mark. Huge.
Okay, and it is... I'll tell you, I'm glad McDaniels is back. If he wasn't here, if he had left, and Belichick now, you know, he started over at D coordinator last year. Now he's got to start. Who's the offensive coordinator? Like, what do they do? Where do they turn on that one? They don't really have one. I don't even think they have a guy in the pipeline really coming up here offensively. And it's like, boy, he'd have to take over that role. Now he's not even focusing on the defense anymore. I mean, I'd look at this whole transition a lot differently if Josh McDaniels were here. I think he's a pretty big figure, Maz.
Well, he is now, especially given all the turnover and change that they've had. And maybe this is why, again, Belichick knifed him in the back with the Giants job, that maybe Bill had an ulterior motive. Because apparently, from everything that we gather, McDaniels was pretty pissed off about it. He's supposed to interview with the Giants. Bill's got him doing his homework, so he couldn't do the Carolina. Couldn't go to the Carolina interview, as Murray pointed out.
He had to file his reports.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Josh, you got to finish your paperwork first. So go to finish your homework, and then come to me, and I'll let you know whether you can go out and play. Okay, so that's what it is, Josh. That's what you got to do. Meanwhile, he calls the Giants and tell them that Joe Judge is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Apparently, Joe Judge did his homework 2 weeks ago and got it done early, so he didn't have to play by the same rules. And McDaniels was pissed, and I wonder if Belichick didn't look at it and say, you know what? With all that's been going on here, all the coaches I'm going to lose, and we went over this list earlier in the week, but between the coaches and the players, I'm going to have to bring along an offensive coordinator too, especially when I'm going to have to rebuild the defense in some way, shape, or form. No way I'm keeping McDaniels.
Did you have a thought there, Murray?
Again, it's a smart play because he's got him cornered. Because if McDaniels, all right, you'll get over it. And if you don't, what are you going to do? You're going to tank your job? You're going to quit? You'll never work again. Your name's already mud. So it's in your best interest to coach this kid up, run the offense, bring Stidham along. And if you do so and the kid can actually play, well, guess what? you've rehabilitated your image, and you can end up a head coach somewhere else. Yeah, it's a smart play by Belichick.
Looks like a hero. A lot to gain for Josh McDaniels. I think he's already lost so much. Like you say, there's a lot to lose. Well, what's to lose? I mean, he's already it already feels like he's borderline unhireable, or he's gotten to that, you know, that phase. Because
I figured he was gone this offseason.
Me too. But and the story of him, you know, being blocked from interviewing in those jobs because Bill made him finish his reports, I feel was an excuse that Josh made because he wasn't going to get that Carolina job. They wanted that stupid college coach,
Matt Rhule,
and purposely not remembered his name. And for some reason, the Giants wanted your Hardo special teams coach, maybe because Bill, you know, pumped him up so much. So, I mean, and Maz is right to bring that up. I think maybe Bill recommending Judge was a bigger detriment than, you know, you have to stay and file your reports. Because if the team was really interested in McDaniels, they just would have waited for him to finish his effing reports. Right. You know, so I always felt like Josh used that as an excuse for not getting these jobs. What he was up for one. Was it Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yeah, so
Cleveland.
He lost out to Stefanski there. For Cleveland, you know, he had a chance. So you had the reports didn't get in the way there, and you're from Cleveland, and they've been after you before, so they didn't want you. You got beat out by a guy who I think sucks. I think that Minnesota offense blows. I hate that Minnesota offense, and he got the job over you. So I feel like he's, you know, if not unhireable, Maz, he's not a hot candidate. He needs this.
So again, I look at it and I sort of still consider him a candidate, but you raise a good point. And the Cleveland one, that's a job he wanted. Because if you go back to those stories that came out, I think it was Akron at the time, or one of those you know, podunk papers in Ohio, that his father was a source behind the scenes and that McDaniels really wanted the Cleveland job. They ended up hiring Freddie Kitchens the first time, and then they passed over him again. So he might not have anywhere else to go, and this will be an opportunity for him to put his name back on the map.
Okay, we'll take your calls on this. We'll take your thoughts on, again, delaying these seasons and bringing them back and starting back up in late summer. Are you into that? Your calls on all of the above right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Josh, glad you didn't go to Indianapolis. Let's start with that. All right. It's going to be a fun night. In all seriousness, you know, I just can't say how appreciative I am for the opportunity to be the head coach here. I know I've told you, it's not easy to play for me. Thanks to everybody for their support, dedication, and sacrifice. You know what, in the end, it's worth it.
Six championship rings. It's hard to fathom. But when two of the best coaches in the NFL work on the same staff, the impossible becomes reality.
Hey, Josh.
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 Yeah.
Even more amazing is that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have been together for every single one of those Super Bowl victories.
We just play that off our Josh McDaniels conversation. Remember that NFL Network thing 2 years ago? When two of the best coaches in the NFL are on the same staff?
Right.
Oh, my God. You think they laid that on a little thick? He was here for all six Super Bowl championships. I'd have to go back and look and see what he did in 2001. In 2001, I think he emptied ashtrays and picked up guys from the airport. I think. I'd have to go back and look at exactly what he did. I don't even remember him on that staff, but he must have been doing something, cleaning the toilets. But boy,
personnel assistant.
Thank you. That's exactly what he's emptying ashtrays and picking up guys from the airport. And he's there for all six championships and two of the best coaches in the NFL on one staff. Boy, they laid it on thick for that thing. But now it's time for it to pay off. Let's see what he does with Stidham. Boy, can he improve his stock, Josh McDaniels can. Let's bring it back with Sully in Boston on the Pats. Go ahead, Sully.
Hey, guys, I've been hearing a lot about Brian Hoyer and
Jared Stidham, and that all sounds nice, but I've been thinking about what about Jordan Love falling to 23 if the Raiders don't pick him up because they just found Marcus Mariota, and I could see them picking up Love. I know he had a bad year last year, but he lost a lot of his offense.
Okay, well, let me just generically, if they draft a quarterback at 23, what does that tell you?
It tells you that Stidham's not the guy, and they have no plan.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I think Murray's right. I'm okay with a quarterback, but I'd rather not be at 23. They also have so many needs that it would really be an indication that that pick on Stidham last year was wasted.
You know, and it's interesting, the quarterback market, you know, that they'll have a quarterback to draft in the first round who's, you know, like Love would be an appropriate pick down there,
this
right?
This is who Mel Kiper has them taken in his latest mock draft on ESPN.
Okay, so it's not even really reaching. So you have quarterbacks there. You also have a former MVP who's now available to you in Cam Newton. You have a former, was it number one or number two? Is Winston number one or number
one.
Two? Number one overall pick in Jameis Winston available to you for almost nothing in return. Never mind, you know, guys like Andy Dalton or Alex Smith, or like, they have a lot of quarterback options. And it's interesting if they pass on all of them. What, and I'll just mention this, I mean, because I feel it bears mentioning. What if Cam Newton comes to you dirt cheap for a one-year prove-it deal? Cam Newton knows the only chance he's got to earn big money again is to have a big, you know, Super Bowl contending year. So he's willing to sacrifice salary for 1 year and come in dirt cheap. I'm talking, call it under $5 million and be here for 1 year. If you're the Patriots, is that tempting?
Murray, go ahead.
I would hope not, because I think he's cooked. I think he's been cooked since that Super Bowl. He's taken too much of a beating. And it just feels like that would be more about buzz than building towards the future. The way it looks right now, it looks like it's Stidham. And that's going to be the guy, and Hoyer's going to back him up. So that's what I want to see. If you bring in one of these retreads, and he's more than a retread, but he's not the guy that he was in 2015.
He's an elite talent.
Was. It feels like you're just trying to get into the playoffs and stay relevant.
How can
and I
you
don't
not
want
be,
that.
How can you not be tempted? How could you not? So that was my question. I didn't say, are you going to do it? Are you tempted?
Yes.
You have to be tempted.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, I think ultimately whether you do it depends on Stidham. So, and I go back to something that Greg Bedard at Boston Sports Journal told us earlier in the offseason, which is they think Stidham is sort of on a similar trajectory to what Jimmy Garoppolo was on. Garoppolo didn't start playing till his third year. Stidham now entering his second year. If they think Stidham is a year away, then absolutely, if you can get Cam Newton cheap, do it. Absolutely.
So I'm not a huge, you know, Cam Newton guy. I mean, I think he's got talent. I worry mostly about the culture fit. You know, can he come in and quote unquote do your job and fill a role and that whole thing when he's used to being the man? And I think it's just be tough for Winston too. I mean, both those guys, number one overall pick, league MVP. You know, how you view yourself, how do you carry yourself, all of that. But geez, and so I mean, maybe it's unrealistic. Maybe Cam Newton wouldn't sign for less than $5 million, but if you're telling me you can get a guy like that on a one-year deal for nothing, how are you not tempted?
Definitely.
How are you not tempted? And I
just think he's cooked. I really do.
I mean, but let's say he's not. Let's say he has a good year. Aren't you a contender? Aren't you right back where you were?
I still have a lot of holes on defense. And
I mean, so look, ultimately, I think I'm a no, but I don't know how you don't, like, kick that around a little bit.
How old is he?
Todd in Plymouth on the NHL and NBA returning late summer. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, thanks, Case. And all your listeners, thanks for doing the show during this time of crisis. We appreciate it. But we got to think outside the box if we're going to buy into these owners allowing stadiums to be completely empty and having sports continue. I think the two biggest people that get affected by it are the owners and the employees of the venues. So why not offer pay-per-view? And if pay-per-view is going to take away from the local national stations, then have the proceeds be allocated the correct way. I mean, I'll spend $300 to go to see one Bruins game. Well, I spend $100 to go see, able to watch a whole season.
Todd, I understand where you're coming from. No shot. All these networks pay through the nose for the rights fees for the finals. I got to give that away so you can pay-per-view the
right?
thing.
No.
What are you, freaking nuts? No, the part of the whole reason to do this is to honor those existing contracts so you don't have to give back money or hurt revenues into the next year. And keep that machine going. So I think that's sort of barking up the wrong tree. Martin in Auburn. Go ahead, Martin.
I was just thinking, this would be the perfect time, whenever the NBA returns, to do a five-game series instead of seven. Especially, I mean, maybe not in the finals, but every other series up until the finals, just do a five-game.
Absolutely, would, Martin.
You know, I think it helps.
So, look, I think there's like there's differences between the NHL and the NBA. The NBA can far more afford to go into empty buildings because their TV money is big and it's guaranteed. And they are the NBA is less dependent on ticket sales than the NHL, which is wholly dependent on ticket sales, or not wholly, but you know, largely dependent on ticket sales. So the NBA financially can handle that, you know, in empty buildings as well. And furthermore, I think the NBA can absolutely go to five game series in the first couple of rounds, just by the nature of that league. The NHL's different. The NHL's dependent on 4x7 and people in the building and. You know, I look, if the NHL has to play in empty buildings, they'll play in empty buildings. And if the only way to fit it in is to go to five games, we'll go to five games. I'm just telling you, the NHL is going to fight harder to have people in the building and to have seven-game series than the NBA, Miz.
Well, the NBA, I love the five-game series idea. In fact, think about it. You could, in theory, at least introduce a little drama into the first round. So a team wins the first two games, and they play game three, and now all of a sudden a seven or eight seed wins, and now it's 2-1. Game four actually becomes a little interesting. So I think there's a benefit. And at the end of the day, the NBA is really not giving much up anyway because those series are all going to end in five games in all probability.
You're exactly right. That's an excellent point, Maz. How many first-round series go beyond five games in that stupid sport?
I don't think they do. I think they all the 4-5 might be the 4-5 might be a competitive series, but I think the large majority of the rest of them are going to be over fast.
So true. Paul in Maine. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Listen, they better hold the NFL draft. I'll miss the friggin' big board. Hell, that could be the most exciting event all spring. I'm praying that professional sports reconvene this summer. I don't care if they play in empty arenas or not. After 4 to 5 months off, games of any sort will be a friggin' godsend. And if you're telling me I have a choice between watching pitcher X hold the baseball for a full minute, every pitch, or watching an up-tempo hockey or basketball game this August, well, that's no choice at all.
It's an easy choice. Oh, my God. You know, July, August, usually sleepy, has a chance to be really interesting this year. There's a chance to be really interesting.
For the first time ever.
And these, you know, the thing about the empty buildings, if you're not going to allow fans and that's the route they have to go, then, you know, don't hold them in the arenas. Find, you know, alternate venues that are more interesting, practice venues. You know, I mentioned Matthews Arena before, like little cool little places like that. Because, you know, like the thing about if you put it in one of the big buildings, if you put it in the Garden, you notice the empty seats.
Yeah, too cavernous. It'll look, sound too weird. Like, I would still take it, but yeah, you would have to get a smaller venue.
Can you imagine Jack Edwards doing a game in an empty Garden and the opposing team being able to hear him?
Oh, right.
Alan in California waiting patiently. Go ahead, Alan.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, really great show yesterday. And I didn't agree with a couple of points. And one of them was, like, when Parcells and Belichick both walk through the door, it was almost like they were carrying the clipboard and doing preseason games in the regular season, and then things kind of clicked. And I don't think Bill has a real problem with that type of scenario repeating. And one other thing is, I don't think Bill mismanaged the cap. It's hard to win. We got 9 championship games, all those AFC title games, you know, and they were always the thing in the NFL for 20 years. And another question is this.
No, you give, no, stop.
Too much.
Taking us back yesterday, no one has any idea what you're talking about.
Thanks for the compliments, though.
God, dang, yes, thank you for the compliment. But don't go back yesterday, go back next, no one knows what you're talking about. And the cap, you think how they spent is why they won all those championships? They spent in the middle of the pack in terms of real money. So the spending to the cap was a fake. It was a feign. It was phony numbers that said they spent to the cap, because in terms of real money, they were right in the middle of the league. They spent below average in terms of the league for the 10 years of the previous CBA. So the fact that they're in cap trouble now, garbage. And the fact that they were some master manipulator of the cap before, garbage. Phony money. Funny money. Sorry. Here's Murray's update. And when we come back, we have an answer to something we debated yesterday, which was, will Tom Brady bring the fam to Tampa Bay? Will he bring the wife, the kiddies, buy a home, put him in school? Will he set up shop in the anus of America, Tampa Bay? We have our answer. We'll give it to you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is he moving the family to Tampa?
Yes.
Are you going to help? Do you have a guest house for him? How's this working out here?
No guest house for me. I think they'll have plenty of options, but there's some really good properties and to settle the family in.
So we talked about this yesterday. That's Bruce Arians. I'm with Dan Patrick. Good question by Danny. Is Brady moving the fam, the entire mishpucha, to Tampa? The answer is yes, according to Arians. I told you, I had a feeling about that.
I can't believe this.
To me, the thing that I really can't believe is the kids. And I'm not passing moral judgment or anything. I'm just like, that to me is the tricky part. Because last year, he had him in school, you know, in the Boston area. Then after the first semester, they yanked him out because Giselle could not get out of here fast enough. Just immediately gone as soon as that semester was over. And then they put him in school in Connecticut, I guess. And now they're going to spend one semester there and then go down to Tampa and enroll in a whole new school for just 2 years down in Tampa. I guess they're young enough. It's not like, you know, you're doing that to a high school sophomore or anything, which is...
Can I call bullcrap on this Aaron's answer?
Okay, go ahead.
Like, Aaron's, you would consider somebody who likes to talk. He's Gabby.
Oh, yeah.
So Dan Patrick asked a question and there's a pause in the yes and then there's no, like, follow-up until Patrick asked him a follow-up. Listen to this.
Is he moving the family to Tampa?
1001, 1002.
Yes.
1003, 1004.
Are you going to help? Okay.
So my point is, if he's a talker, if Aaron's is a talker, it's kind of a quick yes. So I call bullcrap on this answer.
I don't. I think it's how he talks.
It serves your agenda. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it does. Of course. I was right yesterday. It doesn't happen often. I got to take those wins when I can, Jimmy. But I told you, I think someone had reported it during the process that the plan is that Brady's going to bring his family.
It was Darlington, I believe.
Maybe it was. Yeah. So like that, I mean, that's a good source on Brady, as good as it gets.
He's mobbed up with them.
Mobbed up with the Brady clan. And so it's just like, you know, as fun as we have, as much as I like those tabloids with, you know, angry texts and sexless nights and all that stuff with Brady and Giselle and the $600 million divorce. I mean, I love that stuff. It's bullcrap. It's not true, you know? And so he wants the family together, which I think he should. This thing about helicoptering in for half the week and all that, like, don't do that.
It's only a two-hour flight.
It's a two-and-a-half-hour flight, and it's, you know, schlepping to the private airport, all of that. It's like, come on, man. If you're going to do this thing, do this thing. Be there in the off season. Be the first one in, the last one out. Don't take Mondays off. Be there for Tuesdays with a meeting with the coach like you used to do with Bill way back in the day. Fully commit. So move the family there. Be a Tampa Bay resident and go all in. So I think he should do this.
I have my doubts still. I have my doubts. And look, it's the right thing to do. I mean, anytime you take a job where they're going to pay you $25 million a year guaranteed, no matter what happens, you take make a commitment like that, you should be all in. But I don't know. I still want to. I will believe it when I see it in this particular case. I have a hard time Super G's giving up Brookline for Tampa when she could be in New York. If that's true... That aside from the weather, oh boy, did she hate it here. Because Tampa is a dump, for crying out loud, compared to Brookline. Other than the weather, they have zero. It's a dump.
Yeah, the weather will be better, but if she thinks there's going to be, like, you know, posh celebrities down there, she's in for a rude awakening. Just about everything that comes up when you Google the terms, which celebrities live in Tampa Bay, you know who always comes up first?
Bubba the Love Sponge?
What you gonna do, brother?
Oh, yeah. Hulk Hogan banged his wife, didn't he? Yeah. Or something like that, wasn't there?
Yeah, Bubba's wife, yeah.
Wasn't there a love triangle with Hulk Hogan and Bubba?
Yeah, Derek Jeter, that's, you know, that's on Brady's level, fine. But others like Brian Johnson, the lead singer of AC/DC, you know, like, is he going to be practicing next door while Giselle's trying to do yoga?
Fanda!
She'll probably like it better than Boston. You know, at least it's warm, and I don't want to say a hop, skip, and a jump, but it's a lot closer to Costa Rica, where they have a home.
Definitely.
And it's closer to Brazil, where she's from. And if the home shopping network is there, I wouldn't put it past these two, you know, way they're marketing themselves now that she's not on that thing, on the regular. I mean, I didn't even know that. But she'll like it better than Boss. She hated it here. Oh, she hated it.
Welcome, neighbor. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, safety tip, Tommy. Keep her away from Bubba and Hulk and all that stuff. Those guys. But no, he should. From a football standpoint, his family should be there so he can be at the building, in the facility, at the stadium as much as possible. If he goes through all of this, to go through all of this, you know, to get his way out of here and this spite move to get to Tampa to prove Bill wrong and to take $30 million a year, or I'm sorry, $25 guaranteed, $50 million, and then live in freaking Soho but play for the Tampa Bay Bucks, that would be a garbage move on his part. Garbage move.
Oh, definitely. And look, in some ways, you almost wonder if the Buccaneers didn't have to, do it in order to get him to sign. In other words, if it wasn't a condition of the deal where they said, look, come in on Tuesday, leave on Sunday night, get the hell out of here, like, do whatever you want. And Brady said, fine, I'm in. Then that's one thing. But if they didn't have to do that, they should really demand that he live in Tampa. Like, it would be a bad look for Brady, but again, I'll believe it when I see it.
To me, the biggest issue, because again, they're jet setters and they're all over the place and they fly private. So, I know Giselle wants to be in Manhattan. The only place she didn't want to be was here. But she should be able to figure out Tampa and scoot all over the place. It's super easy to South Beach, blah, blah, blah. So, like, those two should be fine. It is, you know, bouncing around the schools with the kids is where it gets complicated, but I'm sure they can figure that out too. So, the Bradys didn't want to be in Boston, but they want to be in Tampa. How's that taste? We can continue with that thought, the Patriots stuff that we've introduced this hour and our big topic today, and that is the resuming and the resumption of the NBA and NHL seasons. Do you want it if it means late July, August, and empty buildings? And we here are a resounding yes. Hopefully you are as well, but we'll take your thoughts on all of it in our long commercial-free segment next.
Yo, guys, Hulk Hogan here, and I've got one question for the Sports Hub listeners out there. What you gonna do when Felger and Maz run wild on you, brother? What you gonna do?
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm proud of Adam Silver. I'm proud of the NBA and the way we've reacted. I think we've led the way, and hopefully we'll lead the way out of this. I mean, you know, no one has perfect information right now, and so all decisions are tough. But, you know, if I had to guess based off the people I've talked to at the CDC and other places, I would say that, you know, the over-under would be June 1st, and I'm taking the under, that hopefully by middle of May, we're starting to get back to normal, and the NBA is playing games, maybe not with fans, but we're playing games, because sports play such an important role. You know, people want something to cheer for. People want something to rally around. People want something to be excited about. And if the Mavs and the NBA in general can get out there and start playing games in May so that they're on TV, I mean, sports is what we need right now, and I think sports Well, you know, I think we're coming together as a community, particularly in North Texas, but I think we need it, and I think the NBA is ready to play that role.
Okay, so that's Mark Cuban resetting this. First of all, that last piece, that last part about sports bringing people together and the importance of it, I agree with 1,000%. And when the rest of the world treats us sports fans like a bunch of rockheads, I think they completely miss the mark, because in no other place, not in academia, not in the arts, not anywhere, do you get what we provide, which is that sense of community and all coming together and supporting causes and each other and things that have nothing to do with the game that we're going to watch. But some of the great moments we've had in this city and this country have come around sporting events. The sporting events after 9/11, George Bush throwing that first pitch in Yankee Stadium, the marathon bombings and that anthem that we sang at the Garden, etc. There's a million examples. We do that in sports. You do that nowhere else. So I guarantee you, I can tell you right now, and you all know it, that when we do come back and we do get back to normal or something approaching it, the best moments and some of the first big best moments we will have as a country will be in stadiums. I mean, that's obvious.
That's going to be a lot of soaked faces after anthems and stuff. It's going to be like that for a while.
Absolutely. And so Cuban's right about that. We all know it. Those of us who are in sports, we know how important they are. So that's obvious, and I think that's a reason to get back. If for nothing else than all these other little less important reasons, these little sporty reasons that I want them to come back. I don't want them ditching these seasons. Now the first part of his comment. He'd say June 1st, and he's taking the under. I think he's going to be, you know, sorely mistaken and badly disabused of that notion, Maz. I don't think we get back that soon.
Well, no, look, and obviously we also spoke with someone who disabused us of that notion, which is Dr. Paul Sachs, who's kind enough to meet with us again from the Brigham and offer us some real sort of expert analysis on that. June 1st still feels early. Remember, not so long ago, the initial 30 days. Was going to be, 30 days. That's right. That we were going to be out 30 days. It's going to be 3 or 4 months, I think, really, and maybe even longer than that. So to me, as far as the sports go, I look at it in these terms. It's really about, do you want to lose the rest of one season and save one in its entirety, or you're willing to lose a little of each? And I'll take B. Because I think B gets us back to something closer to normal sooner and also keeps the integrity of the two seasons closer to intact for both. I don't want to just flush a winter season down the toilet in all sports. I don't want to do that.
Okay, so that conversation with Paul Sachs, you're talking about Dr. Sachs from the Brigham, we will replay at the end of the next hour. And he, again, you know, thinks it's a little irresponsible to put a date on anything, which I would agree with. He's also not going to rule out a return. Dr. Sachs is not, for these leagues. And I think that's right as well. Let's plan for everything and then see what happens. Err on the side of caution every step of the way. But listen to the researchers, listen to the doctors, listen to the experts. And if we get to the summer and they deem it safe to come back in any form, empty buildings, full buildings, whatever they allow, then we'll do it. And don't rule anything out on either side in the meantime. And Dr. Sachs hasn't. Now, one of the things that Mark Cuban based his prediction on was this belief that maybe we can come up with, if not cures, then therapies to help combat the virus that will either mitigate the symptoms or maybe contain the spread or sort of, mitigate the symptoms to the point where there's less hospitalizations, there's less long-term damage done to your lungs or your overall health, where the strain on the healthcare is not what it is. And people still may contract the virus like they may the common cold or the flu, but we can manage it better, where it's, you know, the ability to manage it. And you'll hear that comment from Cuban coming up on him. We'll play that for Dr. Sachs, and he'll give you his thoughts on that. So again, I'm not sure Cuban's going to be proven right on this, but even if it takes much longer, I'm all in favor of it. And I think it sets up for what could be a really interesting end of the summer. And whether that's empty buildings or they're playing in practice facilities or small little college high school gyms, I think that could be interesting. I think the NHL's plan is interesting. When I say NHL, the NHL's plan, the NHL's doing the same thing as the NBA. They're going through all these permutations, all these different options. The one that was proposed by a group of players. Now, again, this comes from the players, which tells you how interested they are in preserving their revenue, their game checks, the split of revenue going into the next season, the salary caps, all of that. The players are interested in restarting this as long as it takes. So I'm just going to read from the TSN story. Their unofficial proposal is this. Chart out a return to the ice in late July. Okay, the plan would be to open training camps in early July. Training camps, early July. Now, players are not fond of the idea of jumping right into the playoffs. So one idea is to begin a truncated conclusion to the regular season that wraps up by the end of July. That would give teams with an unequal number of games played a chance to make their final cases for the postseason, while also providing warm-up contests for teams firmly in playoff position. Then, a two-month sprint for the Stanley Cup would begin in August, with the Stanley Cup awarded by the end of September. There would then be a 3 to 4 week transition period in October for the draft, free agency, and training camps for the next season. Then the full 2021 regular season, which would be a condensed 82-game schedule, would commence in November, with the Stanley Cup awarded in late June. So they don't need to condense the next season, Maz. All they need to do, start it in November, eliminate the All-Star break, eliminate each team's bye week. Each team gets like a week off. So you eliminate those two things, and you can have the Stanley Cup in late June versus early June and not lose a game. And the players do not want to lose a game because that's money out of their pockets. And there's the path to that. Now, you would say, why are we doing a training camp? Why are we doing a regular season? I actually like those ideas because I think if you come out and go immediately to the playoffs, you are begging for torn groins and muscle pulls and guys not being able to put up with it because, you know, we all know what the Stanley Cup playoffs are like. So they need a camp. They need a little warm-up. And furthermore, I'll just end on this, that little regular season cleans up the 8-9 thing where you've got a couple of teams now in the 8 spot that have games in hand over teams in the 9 spot. So instead of going to, you know, point percentage or some sort of play-in or something like that, you have a regular season to clean up the games played between the 8 and 9 seeds, and you have a full 16-team slate with a regular Stanley Cup playoffs that's just played in August, September, and you award the Stanley Cup by the end of September. And Maz, I'm sorry, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, look, I like the idea too. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I didn't. I like the idea of preserving both seasons if we can do it. And look, I understand that the second one in that plan you just read, that the idea would be they play a condensed schedule. You can cap the All-Star game. I couldn't give a rat's ass about the All-Star game. So I have some reservations about jamming a season in a short period of time because I don't think it's necessarily good for the players. But whatever. I mean, whatever.
These are unusual times. You know, you can't.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I just think that if they can find a way to preserve the current seasons, however that is, and what percentage they have to play and however long they have to put it off, I think that that is the preferred alternative rather than just completely erasing it like it never existed and then starting up again in the fall like we usually do. I'd rather continue this one.
So when the players first proposed this, they acknowledged and they thought a big impediment to them would be the Summer Olympics, which is an NBC property. And if they were having their playoffs in late July, early August, that NBC would not be available to televise the Stanley Cup because they're televising the Olympics. Well, the Olympics has been canceled. And now NBC, you know, as all these networks do, have all this dead air, all this inventory, all this room because, you know, frankly, the first couple rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, NBC covers like the Olympics. There's games on CNBC and, you know, like they do a great job with it. They televise every game. And now that the Olympics is kaput, I'm sure NBC would love to fill that void with Stanley Cup playoffs. Not that it would be as widely viewed, but there's an opening there. So I want the leagues kicking around all this stuff. I do. And boy, is that fascinating. Boy, would that be, you know, what was once a sleepy time, July, August, into like Labor Day, is now balls to the wall. Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs. The Masters would move to September. Kentucky Derby, if that's your speed, moves to September. Wilder Fury 3 moves to the fall. You know, the NFL is talking about pushing off all this off-season stuff. They can't start camps on time. They start in October. And all, talk about a fascinating run, August, September.
Be a deluge.
What a great time of year that would be. And you know who gets porked the most in that, Maz? Who gets porked in that?
Major League Baseball, and they deserve it.
And all that stuff going on, who's going to sit and watch a baseball game? who's going to sit and watch a baseball game, even if it's a pennant race at that time? Think of that. Think of what that does to baseball. Think of how that gooses baseball. Crazy. So that's what we've been talking about largely today. We did reset some Bruins stuff. So we'll, some Patriots stuff. So all that's on the board. I promise, right to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.